In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm heart of your love and mind. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand. But I may as well try and catch the wind. I think it was Woody Allen who said, life's a bitch and then you die. Or was it the writer of the Book of Ecclesiastes? Certainly, he seems to be having a bad day when he wrote it. So negative, so bitter, so utterly despairing. Was it something he ate? But he may as well try and catch the wind. Nothing is right for him. He surrounded himself with wealth and possessions, and they mean nothing. He has enjoyed enormous power, and it leaves him empty. He's had more sex with more women than you can shake a stick at. It leaves him unsatisfied and cold. The justice system stinks. The unfairness of life oppresses him. All around there is corruption and self-interest, and the ancient folk wisdom that was supposed to equip him to deal with this stuff, with life, seems in his bleak mood to be inane, insulting in its banality. All his achievements, his certificates, his qualifications seem to him, in his present state of mind, pointless trinkets. All of it, any of it, doesn't add up to a hill of beans. Life's a bitch and then you die. You live, you die, end of story, good night Vienna, arrivederci Roma. You might as well try and catch the wind. Pretty depressing stuff, really. Not a lot of joy, optimism, vision, hope, faith. So much so that scholars reckon they detect the not-so-subtle hand of an editor from later times softening the gloom, lightening up the unrelenting bleakness with a few kindly pious conclusions just before we all go out and shoot ourselves. But the bottom line of the Book of Ecclesiastes is that we might as well try and catch the wind as to try and make sense of this crazy thing called life. It's all in vain, all useless. All meaningless. So what to do? Eat, drink, and be as merry as you can. Dance on. What else is there to do? Numb the raw nerve ends of that overwhelming sense of meaninglessness and emptiness with some drugs or some drink or some noise. The insistent, incessant beat of Ibiza. To think otherwise is delusion. The philosopher of Ecclesiastes is well in tune with our times and the vacuum in so many lives. The absence of purpose, point or plan, a void that empties experience of values, absolutes, commitment, responsibility. Why bother? Who cares? What does it matter? Who gives a? You don't have to read the grim novels of Martin Amis or espouse the bleak philosophy of Sartre and Camus or embrace the nihilism of much of modern pop culture. You just have to read the Book of Ecclesiastes and it's all there, writ large, cold and unforgiving. Life is vanity, all without meaning. Everything leads to weariness, a weariness too great for words. Anything I wanted, I got. I did not deny myself any pleasure. I was proud of everything I worked for. Then I thought of all that I'd done and how hard I'd worked doing it. And I realised it didn't mean a thing. It didn't mean a thing. It was like chasing the wind, of no use at all. In days to come, we will all die, we will all be forgotten, wise and foolish alike. So life came to mean nothing to me. It had all been useless. I had been chasing the wind. As long as you live, all you do brings nothing but worry and heartache. It's all useless. A human being is no better off than an animal, because life has no meaning for either. And so on, and so on. You get the picture? People in 21st century Europe can identify with that sense of confusion and disappointment. And not just the lost souls huddled in shop doorways with their skinny dogs and their haggard expressions. Hanging around the railway station waiting to get the next ration of the drugs that are killing them. The harsh realities of human experience drop like a hand grenade into our story, and people ask in their pain, where is God? Where is justice? What's it all about, Alfie? We should respect the honesty of the Old Testament. The refusal of those who put together the canon of Holy Scripture to sideline this vexing and disturbing book of Ecclesiastes, this uncompromisingly uncomfortable book that refuses the pat answers and prefers to let the questions run. This haunting cry of despair be heard, a cry that echoes down the centuries to our time. We may as well try and catch the wind. It's included because it's there. Those painful issues it acknowledges are there, globally and in people's personal lives. Folk are asking, real people just like us are asking, why are things in such a mess around me and within me? And these thoughts and feelings happen in us. These questions are raised by our circumstances, even in people of faith, perhaps especially in people of faith, who might just be hoping for some concession ticket through life. But men and women of faith, we know, are not spared the hurt of the question that lies within the book of Ecclesiastes. When the shadow of doubt, deep soul-searing doubt, falls across our pilgrim walk, and we find ourselves in a terrible solidarity with all those who have wondered at one time or another, am I kidding myself on here? Am I living a sad deception? Is this faith like they say it is, a comfort blanket in a cold, empty, meaningless universe? Do I really count for something? Does God really care about me? Does he know my name? Or am I in captivity to a reassuring fable? Perhaps they're right, those brave souls who stand on their own two feet, live the lives they choose without benefit of clergy or the need of the divine to make it through. Maybe the scientific rationalists and the hard-nosed materialists are right and we're just accidents of history, born for no reason, doomed to die without meaning, and we should just jolly well get on with it on that basis, without cowering under the bedclothes of faith in order to hide from the bogeyman of reality. And plenty have done that, built whole philosophical systems around the notion that life in the end is what you make it, and if you can give your short existence some worth, fine, but just don't imagine there's some eternal divine dimension to any of this, to any of us. Flick on the light, welcome to the world. Flick off the light, game over. No more significant than that, no more meaning than that. Last one out, put out the lights. So, dance on, why not? To which the philosopher of Ecclesiastes offers a hearty amen. It's in the context of this very real struggle for meaning that faith stands, sometimes trembling, sometimes shivering and exposed, occasionally strong and full of conviction. The reason for that belief in our worth and purpose lies in a sense of wonder and awe, in face of the beauty of the created world, or in a man-made miracle of art or music. There is, we believe, nothing naive or inappropriate in the sense of wonder that wells up within us when we're confronted by or exposed to great loveliness, before which we rightly fall silent. Nor are we jumping the gun if we allow the mysteries of morality, the reality of self-sacrifice and love, to be signposts for us towards eternal significance. Truths that simply cannot be reduced to social conventions, cultural controls, heroic, generous, forgiving acts, selfless love and sacrifice. These transcend the ordinary and point us somewhere else, beyond the ordinary, towards something more, something truer than the material self-defensiveness that would root us forever in the here and now, as if that were the only reality. These things, creativity, art, morality, love, are just glimpses of a beyond ourselves. And while the committed materialist might attempt to reduce all these experiences to chemical reactions in the brain and electric impulses, well, we refuse to let go of our conviction that reality, as it encounters us, more than hints that there is more to life than meets the eye, more to us than meets the eye. And when the God who lives at the heart of all creativity and love and morality actually reaches into our human predicament with his word, his presence, his becoming flesh and living among us, then that conviction deepens, that sense of wonder intensifies, and for a time is unshakable. The world is covered with the fingerprints of God. And we have seen his mark in the beauty of a flower, the blaze of a sunset, the sweep of a heather-covered glen, the sound of a child's voice filling the roof of a soaring cathedral with beautiful song, the awesome extravagance of the natural world, profligate in its colour, song, and capacity to amaze us. And when Christ stands before our life, with the love and welcome that he offers, and they fill and flood and drench our dry spirits, we know, we feel, we stop being afraid, and we believe, not all the time perhaps, not easily, when death shatters our peace, or worry knots our insides, or betrayal sours our life, or failure looks back at us in the mirror. Not then is faith easy, nor hope the natural tilt of our soul. Depression and a sense of futility sweep in like the north wind. Hesitancy and disillusionment brush happiness aside. The easy faith of others sounds to us in our grim circumstance trite and irritating. Their certainty an affront to our desperate search for sense in it all, in any of it. We want to hold on to our misery and wallow in the negativity that shrouds us. There is sound biblical precedent and permission to go there, into the cloud of unknowing, the dark night of the soul, and to think those thoughts and explore the dark woods and the shadows of doubt. Of course, indeed, I don't know many Christians who haven't at some time or another lost the plot, lost the momentum, lost their first love of God because of geography or circumstance, or boredom, or failure, or pandemic, or a challenge too much that they simply can't handle, or a hurt done to them. All these kinds of things can cut deep into our certainties and leave them bruised and bleeding, and we start to ask, who am I kidding? Who are they kidding? Who needs all this? What is the point? Fortunately, Ecclesiastes is not the only book in the Bible. Beware the flick open and see what it says, school of Bible reading. You might just open it at Ecclesiastes when you're feeling low, and it will take you lower than a Leonard Cohen album. But it's there because sometimes we are there. It's there because sometimes we are there. Despair sitting like a block of ice in our heart. The encouraging words of the faith sounding hollow. The church seeming self-satisfied and complacent and always asking for money for. None of it seems to make any sense. None of it seems to matter. The world just seems daft, and our lives tossed about in the daftness with no more sense, purpose, or meaning than a matchstick skittering down the rain-swollen gutter. Sometimes we are there, at that place, and that's the truth. But it's not the only place, and that's the truth.